Good morning. I'm Kyle Almer with the Guru, Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz. The weather's cooling down. I think summer is officially over. Air conditioners can come out of the windows now.
Yeah, it was definitely not football weather recently, but now we're ready, feeling that little chill in the air, and it means football season is full tilt.
Absolutely. Halloween's right around the corner. You got your outfit picked out?
Yeah. I don't know. Always, I might go be a zombie this year. It seems to be a pretty big
zombie
thing. So maybe I'll be able to put a uniform on and be a football zombie. Kind of like a lot of these fantasy teams out there.
Yes, true. Or some of these players that all of a sudden have risen from the dead that were of no use to us.
Become the dead, who should have been producing a little bit more than they are.
Yes, actually, we're going to start off with the Baltimore Ravens, Green Bay Packer game. Speaking of somebody who hasn't exactly risen to expectations, what about Aaron Rodgers? Is he ever going to have his monster game that we've expected him to have?
Well, I think they're focusing so much on running the ball that it's going to hurt his fantasy value. I mean, he may not end up in the top five this year. Greg Jennings was a factor, although he was hurt a lot last year. Just having him in the lineup draws some of the coverage off of the other receivers. Randall Cobb's been a little banged up. James Jones has always been an inconsistent. And you know what? We drank the Kool-Aid again with JerMichael Finley. We just thought he was going to be a fantasy stud, and he's been a major disappointment. And I'm noticing teams that don't have that productive tight end, you know, they're struggling on offense. I mean, you know, look at the Steelers when they didn't have, you know, Heath Miller, you know. So, I mean, until JerMichael Finley can draw some coverage off of some of those outside receivers, you know, they're going to be content running the ball. And I could see good games out of Aaron Rodgers, the sprinkled in monster game, but not the consistent monster game we're used to seeing out of him. And I think he's dropping down out of the top five.
You know, I took DJ Williams when he came out to back up Finley because I had little faith in Finley, and then they just wouldn't put DJ Williams in there. So you're right. I said, well, maybe Finley's going to have a good season.
No.
And I just kept falling for it over and over again.
He had a good first game, and he's been non-existent since. I mean, Eddie Lacy looked good last week, ran hard against a pretty good defense. He's borderline, must start as a number two running back or flex player. So, you know, and I'm sitting JerMichael Finley until he shows me something. I'm questioning Randall Cobb had a big game last week, but, you know, it was that humongous, run. It wasn't even catching the ball.
Yeah.
So
a fluke run that got him all those yards.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers had a good game last week, but, you know, you got to play those guys. You're not going to sit them because there is that opportunity for them to have a huge game. So, I mean, you're not going to sit Aaron Rodgers. I don't care who they're playing. You're going to have some disappointing games, I will say that. But Eddie Lacy's a guy you want to look at getting in your lineup, and of course the receivers, and I'm looking to sit JerMichael Finley.
What about Ray Rice? Is he another guy that are they going to consistently feed him the ball over there in Baltimore?
Well, you know, Bernard Pierce, you know, has been a little banged up, and Ray Rice has been banged up, and, it's kind of a little bit off on Torrey Smith. I didn't think he was going to have a big year. He's been pretty solid.
Yeah, he has.
He's borderline number one wide receiver numbers he's putting up at this point. So, but other than that, if you have another option for Ray Rice, I mean, at this point, he's just not. I mean, he had a decent game last week, but overall, he's been a major disappointment. You know, if you have an up-and-comer or an Eddie Lacy, you know, I mean, Ray Rice is falling from a number one to a possible number two, and maybe even only a flex option at this point.
Yeah, and Flacco, is he going to be up and down, up and down?
That's what you're going to – he's always been up and down, up and
down.
I mean, a lot of people got really high on him and thought he would parlay his playoffs – and Super Bowl run into a good fantasy season this year.
And then the first game, he took off.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't really see much of that going on. So I would just say, you know, he's going to be a backup to whoever your fantasy quarterback is. You play him on a bye week and hope for the best. I'm not starting Flacco.
Yeah, Buffalo and Cincinnati. Cincinnati just handed it to New England. What are they going to do to this poor Buffalo offense with not their first string, not their second string, but a guy that just brought up from the practice squad? Thaddeus Lewis is going to be their starting quarterback. And then are you still hanging on to A.J. Green as being the number one overall pick or number one wide receiver?
Well, now that Calvin Johnson's missed a couple of games or so, I'd say so. But, I mean, it's really been one of those years. I mean, no, right now he's not on pace to do it. But, again, it's not how you start. It's how you finish with fantasy football. Big games are ahead of him, and I think this is going to be one of them. I think this is going to be one of those explosion games. Cincinnati hasn't been able to run the ball. They are using their tight ends. Tyler Eifert's having a pretty good start to his rookie campaign. Mm-hmm. Sanu's been getting some catches. Marvin Jones is getting himself into the mix. I'd mentioned him earlier in the year on some podcasts to think about him. He's starting to work his way in, and I think at some point Marvin Jones is going to be the number two there. So if you're looking for a waiver pickup, that's a guy I would look at this point is Marvin Jones. And I'm staying away from the running backs. I'm not playing either one of them until they figure out who's going to get the lion's share of the carries. Buffalo, how many disappointed C.J. Spiller owners are out there?
I'm one of them, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, you figure he was a top 10 pick for sure. Fred Jackson's actually been more productive. And that's a situation I'll never understand. I'll still never understand why Buffalo drafted Spiller in the first place when they had at the time Marshawn Lynch and a Fred Jackson. Fred Jackson, when he is the guy, is a fantasy stud, but he's going to lose carries to Spiller and vice versa. Spiller's losing a lot more carries to Fred Jackson, who's healthy. So, that's a tough spot. I mean, there's a guy in my league, he plays both guys.
that is tough. You know what? Both these guys might have good reception games this week, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, Fred Jackson, if you look, in standard scoring leagues, has scored over 10 points in every game. And he's not somebody who's not somebody's number one or number two. He's probably somebody's flex player. That's pretty good production out of a flex player to get 10 points every week. So you could probably put this guy in there and know you're going to get at least 10 points. That's pretty good in a flex option. I'm liking when I see it, Robert Woods. Unfortunately, the quarterback situation is going to stunt his growth as a rookie. It's also going to diminish Stevie Johnson's value for fantasy. So really right now, I mean, you're going to play Steve H. Spiller because he's a brand name and he's probably your top 10 pick. If you had other options or deep, you may want to sit him, especially because how their quarterback situation is. Plus, Fred Jackson's getting a nice share of carries. So major disappointment, you may want to look to trade C.J. Spiller on brand name alone.
Yeah, I'm actually saying for this week, though, that both those running backs will get a bump if you're in a PPR league.
Yeah.
Because I think that this quarterback, unfortunately, is going to do a lot of checkdowns. Like you said, Robert Woods is going to have a bad game. But these two running backs might get a lot of swing passes out of the backfield just because he just doesn't want to get creamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I am not.
Safe. And they're going to be safe. Safe plays, safe packages, nothing deep down the field. So a lot of running, a lot of both of those guys. So they should have good games. But overall, the big picture, I would absolutely say start looking to, if you don't see – this week, I would say start looking to package C.J. Spiller. See who has Fred Jackson and vice versa. If you had Fred Jackson, see who has C.J. Spiller and see if you can get a bite from that fantasy owner and just rid yourself of the situation right now. It's not going to get any better.
I'm still not a fan, haven't been a fan, as you know, of Andy Dalton. And he still is missing passes that he should be connecting on. And it's hurting A.J. Green. It's hurting the team. They still won, obviously, but I don't know how long they can honestly hang with him as their starting quarterback. They might have to pull a Minnesota and look back objectively and say, is this the guy to run this team? We have everybody else around him that is a top caliber. Is he the guy?
Well, this is where you get that line between fantasy and reality.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's winning football games. He's got him to the playoffs the last 2 years. He's going to have a major, swoon in his play to even remotely think about it. Now, fantasy owners, you may start looking at it quicker.
Yes.
Because I thought this was the year he was going to take that leap into fantasy stardom. Could still happen. It's early yet. But if you drafted him as your starter, you may want to look and see what other options may be out there.
The Browns are going against Detroit. This could be interesting. I cannot believe the Browns, honestly, how well they have played. They don't have a lot of options on offense. They are relying on their tight end. He's been dominant, and now with Josh Gordon back, he's had some great games. And Detroit is not the same team, clearly, without Calvin Johnson. Everybody gets shut down.
Yeah. I jumped on the Joik Bell bandwagon last week thinking he would be he would see some bonus points just by Calvin Johnson not being there, and he was a major bust. But you know, you got to play the guys. You got to play, you know, Stafford and Bush. Joik Bell's a good flex option or number two or bye week fill in. I drafted him. I have him on every team I have, and I've been pleased with his production other than last week. Pettigrew is nowhere to be found. He's not even worthy of a roster spot at this point.
No, he's not.
Broyles hasn't stepped it up. I don't know if he's still not coming back from that knee injury.
That so, one he, really concerns me, because if he doesn't have numbers when Calvin Johnson is out, is he going to have numbers when Calvin Johnson is back?
Ugh. Yeah, that's a situation where, you know, he's the injury really set him back. So you may not see a reward with Ryan Broyles till next year. Bush has been unbelievable. I get nervous. I think the guy's not going to make it through the whole year. And if he does, he's going to put up some crazy numbers. But I mean, they're Detroit, they're going to score points. I mean, they struggled last week. If Calvin Johnson comes back, it's business as usual, and you're going to play him and Stafford and Bush and Bell. And, you know, score a bunch of points. Now, Cleveland is a lot better team than I thought.
Yeah. I think they're a lot better team than everybody thought.
Well, if they could get any type of quarterback play, which they got with Hoyer, and Hoying, it was such a disappointment to see him get hurt.
Yeah.
It really was. This was his shot. He was proven he can play. He was gritty and played well and found Josh Gordon.
Yeah. He was a hometown boy, too. So
yeah, heartbreaking for the guy. Now, Whedon's going to get his last chance. He's not a fantasy option. I think Willis McGay, he is. They know this isn't their running back of the future. They're not worried about beating the heck out of him and
not
grinding him. He's going to be there every down back, the goal line back. They'll spell him occasionally. But if you're able to pick up McGahee, you got yourself a solid number two or flex running back for sure, and he's a must start. Cameron Jordan's the top three tight end right now out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I really like what I see from Josh Gordon. Really like what I see from Josh Gordon. This is a guy who, again, when he gets his head screwed on straight, could be significant in fantasy. So,
top 10? You think he could be a top 10 from here on out?
It all depends on the quarterback play. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how consistent you're going to get out of Brandon Whedon. But let's just say he plays average. Yes, he could be in the top 10, top 15. For sure.
Nice. I'm happy to know that I traded him for C.J. Spiller. That makes me feel really warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, good job. Good job.
Why? Oh, you know what? It's just part of the game. You know, weak at a position. I had depth in another position, so I said, hey, let's make this trade. And I think may have lost in that one there. Dallas is going against Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, RG3, he's looking every bit like a one-year wonder. And Miles Austin, he may have been replaced in this game. Terrence Williams looked good.
A lot of people are going to jump on that bandwagon. Again, they were going against, you know, it was one of those games where, you know, everybody's going to get some type of production in a game like that.
Yes.
But looking, starting off with the Redskins, Robert Griffin III, I'm going to give it a couple more weeks because he's been fantasy productive. You know, believe it or not, he's gotten some decent fantasy points. Not what anybody who drafted him expected him to get. But it's not like he's putting up 4 points, 5 points. You know, the fact that he's run a little bit, you know, he's been putting up some decent points. Alfred Morris, he's a little banged up, but he's a must start. But there's really no – I wouldn't touch any of the receivers.
Not even Pierre?
You know, I mean, someone's got to catch the ball. But you know what? If you have another option – the way RG3 is playing, he's a little banged up, you know, as a third receiver or fourth. Yes. But I mean, if I had another option, I'm going to wait to see how this offense shakes out before I start playing some of their receivers.
Yeah. Garçon is one of those non-flashy receivers this year that when you look at the box scores at the end of the day and you look at everything, you're like, I cannot believe he had such good numbers.
Yeah.
He didn't look like he was getting any kind of numbers the whole game.
Yeah. No, and Dallas, I mean, Tony Romo, like we say every year on every podcast, for all his, you know, flukiness as an NFL quarterback, he is just a fantasy football stud at quarterback. I mean, the guy just produced a ridiculous game last week. Thankfully, I had him. I needed every single point. But I mean, he's just, you know, again, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's a must start. He's in the top 5. And as far as fantasy, he's probably right behind Breeze, Manning, and then who? Probably Romo's right there. You know, Brady isn't there. Rodgers isn't there. Cam Newton isn't there. RG3 isn't there. It's Romo climbing the ladder. So, and because of that, Dez Bryant, again, fantasy stud, top 5 for sure, must start. Terrence Williams is probably one of the top picked up players in fantasy football. Get him in your lineup. Witten, of course. And DeMarco Murray has been productive. Not great, but serviceable as a number 2.
Denver, Jacksonville, how concerned are you that they're going to start pulling players out of this game on the Denver side of the ball? They did that. Seattle started pulling their players out against Jacksonville. Do owners have to be concerned that this is going to happen to Manning and all of the Denver players on offense?
I think the Jaguars' offense is a lot more productive with Chad Henne in there than Blaine Gabbert. He's able to find Cecil Shorts. He has a good connect, you know, Justin Blackmon. So I really think they'll score more than they scored with Blaine Gabbert, which will keep it to the point where Denver will do enough damage to your fantasy guys to help you that hurt you by having them get pulled at some point during the game. So I wouldn't concern myself with that, and I'm not going to sit any of those guys in fear of that because they may get 4 touchdowns before they're pulled.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I mean, that's been the case. Other than Julius Thomas, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag with receivers. Decker's been probably the most consistent of them all. Welker, you know, had 1 or 2 catches but a touchdown. But when the guy's throwing 5 a game, you're bound to catch one. You got to play all those guys. You got to play no Sean Marino until he's either hurt or pulled. You know, he starts fumbling or whatever happens. And, you know, maybe Ball, maybe Hillman. So this may be the time to start looking at if Hillman's on waivers to pick him up. If Ball's on somebody's roster deep and buried, you may want to make a move for him now and hold on to him because I just think it's a matter of time for Marino gets hurt or loses his job. I just feel that way. But while he's not and while he's in there, he's a must start. He's a must start on that offense. So Denver, pick your poison, pick anyone you want, and I would play him. On the other end, you know, I'm really, you know, I would play Blackmon if you had a deep wide receiver league or Cecil Shorts, because they're going to have to throw the ball in this game. They're not going to – the biggest mistake any team can make right now is trying to keep Denver off the field, because what happens is if you don't score every time you get the ball, you're going to lose. Just ask Dallas. So I would just say, you know, play the receivers from Jacksonville in a deeper league, and anyone you can get on Denver on your starting lineup, I would recommend it.
Well, the annoying things for me is when I'm watching Denver play – excuse me. When I'm watching Denver play and they say Thomas with the catch – I'm always like, which one was that?
Which one?
Which one? Which Thomas was that? Please give me a first name with that. It's just, I know it's a little minor irk when I'm watching the game and I'm like, which one? I have Julius on my defense, on my team. I need to know if he caught the pass or if that was Demaryius. Please let me know. The Texans going against the Rams. The Texans appear to be getting worse every game. Schaub is not helping that situation. He's supposed to be the veteran leadership and he looks worse than a rookie. The Rams, they handed the starting job over to Zach Stacy. Nice of them to do that right when Jacksonville was coming into town to make him look as good as possible. And now he's going to get the start again against the Texans, and they're not exactly a stout run defense either.
Well, both teams are disappointments. I mean, you know, the Texans for the last few years were potential Super Bowl contenders. But Matt Schaub has regressed to the point where I just don't understand it when they brought in some extra weapons for him. I mean, they draft DeAndre Hopkins. You got two solid tight ends with Graham and Daniels. Now Daniels is out. You got 2 solid running backs and Tate and Foster. You know, this was the year that he was supposed to really have a good standout year. Now, we didn't buy it. He wasn't even on my top 20. I just didn't feel it. But on paper, it looked like he could be the guy. I would right now, I mean, I'd play Arian Foster. Garrett Graham may be a good start as a tight end. if you're somebody who doesn't have a good tight end, or is, you know, have Tony Gonzalez on a bye or Clay Arbor on a bye, you may want to look, if you're scrambling, maybe look at Garrett Graham as a one-week start, meaning that Owen Daniels is out for 8 weeks. And then, you know, Andre Johnson, you got to get him in your lineup. He's been disappointing this year. He hasn't had that big game. You're wondering if this is the end of the road for him as being one of the elite wide receivers, and that could be part of the reason why that offense is struggling. He's been a fantasy disappointment for where he's probably gone in the draft. Same thing with Arian Foster, fantasy disappointment. On the other side, I'm still going to stay away from the running back situation until I see a clear-cut guy. Like you said, he ran well against Jacksonville. Bradford's been a pretty good fantasy quarterback this year. He may be somebody if you're, you know, you have Matt Ryan and he's on a bye, and Bradford, you know, he's a good start in that case. Problem is he's spreading it around so much, none of the receivers are worth playing at this point.
How about Cook? Is it time to bail on Jared Cook?
Off the first week, he probably got a lot of fantasy owners, you know, with their eyes wide open and thinking this is great. But, yeah, I mean, it's to the point where he's just spreading it around so much that I wouldn't take a chance on anybody at that point as a receiver for the Rams.
Kansas City's going to Oakland. You know, I'm not a Pryor fan, but even I'm starting to think he might be okay.
You know,
but he is he's doing good. But they're down a couple running backs over there, and Marshall Reese might be an option. And is Denarius Moore, is he the go-to wide receiver?
Yes.
Is that etched in stone?
Well, you know, Marshall Reese, I just don't get why they don't utilize him more.
Yeah,
because when they utilized him last year, he was very ridiculously productive for a guy his size. We were laughing about it. But I like what I've seen from Terrell Pryor. You know what? I like the decision-making. You know, he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't see ghosts, if that makes sense. You know, he doesn't, when there's a rush on him, he's not panicking and getting ready to just throw the ball all over the place. You know, he's composed. He runs the ball, which gives him some fantasy value. He's definitely who should be on somebody's roster. And in a good matchup, he's definitely somebody you want to play. Just not this week.
You know, I think with Pryor, I think with Pryor, though, I think he just has always had that on him since his high school days. All in high school, the game was all on him. The game was all on him at Ohio State. Now he's in Oakland, it's all on him. He's the leading rusher for the team, too, not just the quarterback. So it just I don't know if he does get rattled when he's back there, because it's like, what else is new?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, Rashard Jennings is getting yet another opportunity to be a starting running back, and it's just falling flat on his face again. A lot of people jumped on him in the waiver wire when Run DMC got hurt, and he's been a big fat zero since then. There's really nobody worth start. Denarius Moore is worthy of a start this week in a deeper league for wide receivers. He's not somebody I'd be all warm and fuzzy as my number two, and God forbid my number one. Terrell Pryor, again, I'm not playing him unless I'm desperate. I have no other quarterback, and he's my backup. So just because the Chiefs' defense has been dominant, it's the number one rated defense fantasy points if you have a defensive league, you know, defense special teams league. This is a game where Alex Smith is going to have a big game. I think he's definitely a must start. Jamaal Charles is one of the top fantasy running backs, if not the top fantasy running backs, depending how your you know, your receivers are or how your league is set up. Disappointment everywhere else, though, on this team for wide receivers and tight end. Seth McGrath actually has been pretty good for a fantasy tight end, but I, you know, unless you have to start him, I wouldn't. So this game is going to be minimal fantasy value. I say Alex Smith. I say Jamaal Charles. Dwayne Bowe is not the stud start. He's a week-by-week, matchup-by-matchup wide receiver until I see otherwise. I'm putting Dwayne Bowe on my bench.
Well, he doesn't look like he even wants to play there. Donnie Avery is the guy who wants to play.
Yeah, and he got a little banged up. I mean, it's, you know, hey, if you got Dwayne Bowe and Denarius Moore, I'd play Denarius Moore this week over Dwayne Bowe.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. Minnesota, Carolina, Minnesota's new quarterback coming into the system here. They said he's going to start no matter what, so that just tells you how excited they were about their other two options. And Carolina with Cam Newton. Has Cam Newton become a manage-the-game quarterback?
You know, can you – I mean, what can he do when they never get him the weapons every year in and year out? You know, I mean, Steve Smith eventually, I mean, he's an aging wide receiver. Now, Ted Ginn's looked pretty good. And I'm saying Ted Ginn is someone you want to look to get in your lineup. He's looked like he's turned out to be the go-to guy over there. Olsen has been pretty productive. I don't know. I mean, I'd hope not. I traded for him in our dynasty league, and I gave up a whole heck of a lot for him. You know, when he's able to let it loose, like against the Giants, he was great. He makes good throws. I mean, he's going to throw interceptions. I mean, he's a gunslinger. Sometimes gunslingers get shot, you know? He's not a man. No, I don't think he's there yet. Too much talent. Problem is the running game hasn't been going. You know, D'Angelo Williams had, for a guy who had a shot to be the guy, and it was finally the guy, he really hasn't done much. He's coming off his worst game of the year so far last week. You know, you play him because he's a starter, but, I mean, offensively, they've been a disappointment. But Cam Newton's a must. He's a must start. Greg Olsen's a must start. Look at Ten Jin.
Jin. You're killing me with the Jin there.
Gin.
Somebody's been having some on the side, haven't you?
Yeah, right. But on Minnesota's side, the only guy you're going to play is Adrian Peterson. You're going to leave everybody else on their bench. Don't get miffed and all excited about your guys and what they did to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense is disgraceful at this point. If you don't have Adrian Peterson's the only guy you're going to play in Minnesota right now. Until you see someone else step up consistently, and I haven't seen it yet. Not from Greg Jennings, not from Kyle Rudolph, not from Jerome Simpson, definitely not from the quarterback situation. So, again, it's going to be a fantasy stinker, this game. But, you know, hey, Adrian Peterson can run for 200 yards.
Yeah, we got a couple of teams like that where you're only taking the one guy and saying, just that's it. He's the only one. You don't want anybody else, and I agree. Peterson's the only one. You can't rely on anybody else. But this game coming up here, the Patriots against the Saints.
Yeah.
All sorts of goodies on this team here. But Sproles, seriously, what's going on, dude? You need to catch more passes. He had that one really explosive game, and the rest have been like, not so bad. Pierre Thomas had some, I don't know what was up his butt this last game. Yeah. He was amazing. He had like 10 receptions or something crazy like that. Amendola is coming back. Edelman, is he worth anything anymore now?
Well, he had his shot too. I mean, these guys are going to have good games because it's going to be one of those high-scoring affairs. You know, starting with New Orleans, you're playing Breeze, you're playing Pierre Thomas, mm-hmm. you're playing Darren Sproles, Jimmy Graham's top fantasy player.
He might break the record already again that Gronkowski just broke.
Yep. He's that good. I mean, he's that unstoppable. And really, they don't need to throw to anybody else. I mean, Colston's been struggling. 2 catches last week for 16 yards. That's unacceptable from what I feel is a solid number 2 wide receiver. A lot of it's going to Graham. You know, Lance Moore's been non-existent. They brought Robert Meacham back. He hasn't done anything. Pierre Thomas, every time this guy's given the opportunity and healthy, he's productive, both NFL and fantasy. The guy runs hard. I like what I've seen out of him. I'd play him as a flex option or number 2 if you had to and feel comfortable. You'd probably get 10 points out of him this week, especially in a points per reception league. On the other side, I mean, the running back situation for New England is very muddy. I don't know who to play. In my opinion, I'd stay away from them all.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount fumbled the ball and was promptly sat down.
Yeah, that's the one thing you can't do. You can't miss a block, and you can't fumble for Bill Belichick. The wide receiver position is also starting to get a little muddy, and the reason for that is nobody stepped up as the go-to guy yet. It's, you know, one week it may be Kenbrell Tompkins, you know, Edelman another week, Amendola another, Dobson, you know, Gronkowski, if he starts, he's a must start. Because I think Brady is just going to get in sync with Gronkowski right from the start. And it may open up things for one or two of the wide receivers. I just don't know who. So I would say stay away from all the New England wide receivers, even in a game like this, because you pick the wrong one, you can get 2 points out of them.
Very true. Watch the other guys go off, and you're the one who has.
Yeah,
the guy
you picked the stinker. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, what happened, Edelman? He was supposed to go off. Yeah, exactly. Yep. No problem. The Jets going against Pittsburgh. Powell. He looks like he is the workhorse back now for the Jets. He pretty much established himself that way. And the other question I have for you is, how bad is Pittsburgh going to lose this game?
Well, the problem with this game is the Jets' defensive line is, you know, unmerciful. And the problem with the Steelers is their offensive line. So this is not a good matchup for the Steelers, and which means you're going to see some minimal. Everyone's going to be all thrilled about Le'Veon Bell off of the game he had. And then the bye week, get another week healthy. This is not the game where you're going to get all excited about Le'Veon Bell. This is a game you're going to be like, oh, man, because they're just not going to be able to run the ball against the Jets. My opinion, this game, you play Heath Miller, you play Antonio Brown, you play Bilal Powell, you don't play anybody else in this game. It's just going to be one of them stinkers, another one of those fantasy stinker games.
Big Ben's going to be on his back a lot this game.
Yeah, he's not. Their Jets defense is just too good to feel with that offensive line to say, I'm comfortable playing Ben this week. Unless you desperately have to, he's got to sit on your bench.
The Chargers and the Colts, this is a game I want to watch
right here.
You know, like you said before, don't sit Luck. He's unsittable at this point. He's gotten that good. And Rivers on the other side, he's just coming off of 2 400-yard-plus games in a row. So it's going to be one crazy game.
Yeah, I mean, and I like this. It's fun to watch Philip Rivers when Philip Rivers is on, okay, because he makes a tough throw. He's tough. He's a competitor. You know, when he makes those buffoon plays, you're like, you know, come on. Like, you know, like the first play of the game and, you know, Sunday night where he just threw the ball over everybody's head and it got picked off. You know, when he's not doing that, it's fun to watch him play. And you know what? You're seeing the emergence of Danny Woodhead.
Yeah.
You're seeing the emergence of the reemergence of Antonio Gates, and the quick development of Keenan Allen, who's been picked up on waivers like crazy this week. Vincent Brown, Andy Royal. I mean, so now you have all these fantasy options. They're all worthy of a start. Now the receivers are worthy of a start in deeper leagues. I wouldn't feel warm and fuzzy as Keenan Allen is my number two, but my number three or number four or flex player, I'd be comfortable with any of those receivers from San Diego. Gates is a must start, and Rivers is a must start. You know, if you have, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, or you have, you know, another quarterback, you know, that you may not want to, you know, you're not comfortable with. Rivers is Rivers was drafted as somebody's backup, so I'm sure right now he's probably somebody's starter the way he's been playing. On the other side, yeah, you're not going to play, and you're not going to sit Andrew Luck. He's going to be a fantasy stud for the next 10 years. Disappointed with Trent Richardson. Beyond disappointed with Trent Richardson. And the way Donald Brown is running, who knows if he's going to supplant him as the starter at some point, which will really have a lot of people, including myself, pissed off, considering he was my number three pick overall, and I left guys like LeSean McCoy out there. So that being said, you know, with the Colts, you're going to play Richardson because he's a brand name and from where you drafted him. You're going to play Reggie Wayne, although he hasn't really done much this year. And T.Y. Hilton is emerging as a fantasy stud. So those are the guys I'm playing. I'm leery with Kobe Fleener. I think there's better options out there because he's been inconsistent. And should be a fun game to watch with a lot of fantasy implications.
I'm one of those guys who has Rivers that I drafted as a starter / backup because my other guy, if you recall, is Andrew Luck. So this game has a lot of interest to me with both these quarterbacks. So I've actually been very fortunate this year with both these guys actually hitting and not missing. So that's good for
me. Good.
Yeah, the 49ers going against the Arizona Cardinals. Gore has been having a much better season thus far. He's really picked it up, but now he's going against the Cardinals, who have the second best run defense in the league. And then, of course, my man crush on Andre Roberts, I think he's MIA now. So,
yeah, well, that whole offense is MIA.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer's been atrocious. Mendenhall's been non-existent. The running game's been non-existent. They don't have a tight end. Michael Floyd's been up and down. Fitzgerald's been up and down. And Roberts, like you said, has been non-existent. So you're going to play these guys based on brand names. You're going to play Mendenhall as your flex because it's, you know, you draft him and it's, you know, you're going to play him. Floyd is a deep wide receiver league. I'd play him. Fitz, you got to play as your number one. On the other side, you know, I mean, Frank Gore is you know, definitely, I guess, outdoing what I thought he would do. I didn't really see. I saw this was the year, especially with Kendall Hunter, you would see a loss of production, but he's been as productive as ever. And Kaepernick's one of those quarterbacks, if you have Rivers is your backup. Play Rivers. You know, he's the one of those quarter RG3 or Colin Kaepernick. If you have him and Rivers is your backup, play Rivers this week. Colin Kaepernick is becoming borderline benchable at this point. So if you have a better option at quarterback, I'd play it over Colin Kaepernick this year or this week.
I'm going to give you some names. You tell me if you would trade Larry Fitzgerald for these guys. I mean, it's becoming that bad. Yeah, straight up for these guys, okay? All right, let's go with Denarius Moore.
No
Denarius Moore, huh? T.Y. Hilton.
Yes.
Yes, you would. See, that, I mean, that you...
Quarterback.
T.Y.
Hilton. I'm
looking
at quarterback stability.
Yeah, see, that is crazy to me that you would even consider that. Antonio Brown.
Ooh. You know, I'd rather have Antonio Brown at this point.
Would you? See, that's how far he's fallen. So, guys, if you're out there and you're holding on to Larry Fitz, you need to sit there and really think hard about moving him. Maybe get some guy who doesn't have that name recognition.
But more productive.
Is absolutely being more productive, exactly.
Yeah.
So, next game, Seahawks against the Titans.
Mm. Punch you in the mouth type of game.
Well, yeah, but it looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the starter there again this week, and if that's the case, they're in trouble because they couldn't. I think they got one first down in the whole first quarter, some silly number like that. When he came in, it was bad news after that. And Russell's actually starting to use his legs now,
which makes him a better fantasy option.
Absolutely.
Looking at this game, I'll tell you, on the Titans side, the only guy I'm playing is Chris Johnson. Nobody else. Nobody else. On Seattle, the only guy I'm playing is Marshawn Lynch.
As it has
nobody
been
else.
For like the last 4 weeks, and it's worked out every time.
Yeah, I'm not looking at Russell Wilson as a fantasy option. The reason I say that is the defense, Titans defense is good. So they're not going to give up a lot of big plays. There's too many guys that can catch the ball. Tate 1 week, Baldwin another, Sidney Rice. Pretty soon you're going to have
Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin. His name slipped my mind. I saw his face but couldn't get his name out. So right now I'm only playing the two running backs. I'm staying away from anybody else as far as fantasy this week.
Yeah, when Harvin comes back, all those other guys, worthless. Absolutely no value at all when that happens. And probably even less value on the Tennessee side for those wide receivers. I can't believe, again, nobody's, and that's QB play more than anything, I think, at this point in time. Tampa Bay going against the Philadelphia Eagles. As expected, the last time Tampa Bay trotted out their rookie quarterback, they had the defense put everybody in the box to stop Doug Martin. Are we expecting the same poor performance from Doug Martin this week because of that situation?
Well, what they need to do is they need to hit Vincent Jackson or Mike Williams on a couple of deep goes early in the game, and they may be able to open up. But I'd be real concerned as a Doug Martin owner right about now.
Yeah.
The quarterback situation is shot. That whole team is in disarray. Nobody wants to play for the coach. They're unmotivated. So I'd be looking to trade him right about now before it gets too late, while you can still get some value. So you're going to play him because the Eagles defense, and they stink. So, you know, you're going to play Doug Martin and you're going to play Vincent Jackson, and in a deeper league, you'll play Mike Williams. But, you're not playing Glennon, and you're going to really have – put it this way. If Doug Martin can't have a good game against the Eagles' run defense, when is he going to have a good game?
Yeah. Against Jacksonville? They play Jacksonville this year?
I don't know. Probably
that might
not
be the only other hope, yeah.
Well, on the other side, I think you're going to start seeing the Nick Foles era.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is there going to be a QB controversy over there on that side?
God, he just looks so good when he plays.
He does.
He does. I mean, the decision-making – you know, there. I mean, you watch Vic play, and he's explosive. I get it, and he runs. I get it, but he throws a lot of, no! Oh, great play! You know, where Foles doesn't do that. You know, all his decisions are good decisions. So, and he can run. Seems like he can run that offense pretty good. So, who knows? We'll see. I'm not ready to put him in on a fantasy start yet, but I'd pick him up on waivers and see how he does if he's there. You're going to play McCoy, and you're going to play DeSean Jackson. Now, if DeSean Jackson can stay healthy for 16 games, boy, he's putting up some season. I thought he would suffer without having Macklin on the other side and the new offense and everything, but he's been just flat out awesome this year. and he's a must start. He's a number one wide receiver. So, you know, other than that, I mean, you're not playing Avant. You're not playing Riley Cooper. I'm staying away from the tight ends. So you're really looking at McCoy and DeSean Jackson for the Eagles, Doug Martin and Vincent Jackson as must starts. And in a deeper league, you'll play Mike Williams and keep your fingers crossed that they step it up and help their rookie quarterback.
Can you believe I didn't mention Julio Jones' name this entire podcast?
Yeah, how disappointing is that?
That's horrible. Broken screw in his foot, so that's it for him for the season. He won't come back until maybe the playoffs of the NFL. So, sorry, everybody. I mean, that is devastating to his owners, obviously, because he was putting up a monster season.
Yeah.
But it took us to the very end to actually mention his name because they have a bye this week, so we're good. You know what? That is everybody. As always, I want you guys to tune back in next week, and thank you for listening. I'm Kyle Amla with The Guru, and you've been listening to The Blitz.
Good luck this week.